Let's go over quickly the announcements for the week. But Ann, where's Ann? Where are you, girl? Tell everybody what's happening December 21st. That, if that doesn't give them exciting thought to work toward, nothing will. Yes.
Just after sunset, you should be able to see it on December 21st.
So December the 21st, they call it the Christmas star, and it hasn't been appearing in 800 years, isn't that right?
And it should be about the same before we see it.
Yes.
So I don't think we will see it again.
I think we need to make sure we see it, okay? Because we probably, yeah, you're right, we probably won't see it again.
Not
so that's...
We might get a better
So that's December 21st, about, I would say, 5:30. You'd be on the southwest side of the earth, and so look out your window, and hopefully there won't be clouds. If there are, we will be chartering a plane, and we'll find a way. No, seriously. So thanks, Ann. Keep us posted on that. December 21st. That'll be exciting. So thank you. Did every one of you get your Daily Bread devotional booklets? Be sure, and if you know you're going to be seeing somebody in the church or you know somebody who could really use one, we've got extras this month. So take what you need and hand those out. Okay, this week, the ASL class is going to be canceled because Shauna's not well. It's 10 o'clock here on the 9th. Sue, give everybody, they're to bring their own lunch.
Yes, the ladies, we are to bring our own box lunch. We are going to have it as our little Christmas celebration.
Okay. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
So that's Wednesday, starting at 10.
Right.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you for that. Thursday night, of course, 7 o'clock, we're here for our study on Ephesians, and you're always welcome. Friday, don't forget, elders, we have a meeting at 4 on Friday afternoon, and then our prayer time here at the church at 7:30 on Saturday. Now, just a reminder, there are no Christmas cards that are going to be handed out from here. If you do put them in the slots, you better make sure those people are coming to some kind of a service. Otherwise, please mail them. Because if you don't, I'll end up having to probably deliver them around to people. But so I got out yesterday, and I think I visited 20 families in the church. And oh, I got to Monique's house. She was making a stew, and I hadn't had lunch. I floated in the house. I said, "What are you making?" So I've asked her. I said, "I want the recipe." I said, "If John ever doesn't like it, you call Jane and I. We'll be right over. We'll be happy." Because there can't be anything wrong with that smell, I tell you. But so anyway, it was interesting to be a different home. So some of you I'm going to be trying to visit in the next couple of weeks. So be on the lookout because we'll be bringing you little treats. All right. What's that, dear?
He made it as if I couldn't come yesterday.
Yeah, you couldn't come. So I did all the talking. That's right, like always. So anyway, we'll be visiting you and coming around to say hello. And it was fun. I visited the Golds, and they had some of their family members there, so I got to meet your family and have a little chat with everybody. And yeah, it was really cool.
Remember, you get the best of us on Sunday. They only get the second best.
Oh, very good. I like that. Yeah. Okay.
Rejected.
You're next, girl. You're next. I can't. I told this church when we first started, if you want me to get to you in a week, I got to have a helicopter. All right? But I was there. I had a lovely visit with Judy. Judy's hanging in. What a trooper she is. So anyway, to all of you, thank you. All right. Is there anything else, Phil, anything we need to update on? Oh, tell everybody what happened this week here in the church, Roger Robinson. That was a miracle.
We've been having issues with our sound board and the quality of sound. So we had a gentleman come up and educate Richard and I. And it was just a little sip out of a large
So thank the Lord. I'll tell you, I haven't heard these two fellows this happy in a long time, but they were pretty pleased. And you know, and we all need help in different ways, don't we? So I just thank the Lord for Roger. All right, team, come on up. Let's do some singing, shall we?
Morning, everybody. As you can see, we're going to have communion today. And this is December. It's the month of birth of our Savior. No birth, no death, no resurrection, no salvation. So think about that when we're going to sing our songs. Let's stand and sing at Calvary.
I spend in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was
Christ alone, my hope is found.
Watching the girls are doing the sign language, and we were singing then bursting forth. Girls, how does that one go? Then bursting forth, bursting forth. I tell you, that's really cool. You know what, we need to get more expressive. Since most of our expression is mask, we may have to do more of this. Amen. Bursting forth.
Cha.
That's the one I know.
Someone, Monique, if I come to your house, I want a big bowl of stew, okay? I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got some notes for prayer and praise. Let me update you as what we have so far. As you know, Sheila went out Monday morning to get the paper, and Roy told her not to. Isn't that true? I want to... He said, no, he says, I'll get it. She goes, no, I'll get it. But he realized that if she was going that way, he'd get the bathroom first. So he went to the bathroom. By the time she came out, she was out in the garage, opened the garage door, took one step, and she went down. And so she had to have pins put in the foot. She's due to come home Monday. No weight on the foot, but she told me last night, Roy, she can lift her leg, so that's good. And you've got a walker and... Wheelchair and...
Wheelchair, yes.
Yeah.
6 weeks in the house, wheelchair. Yeah. So I'm giving her a racing cap,
Yeah, that's good. Well, and you'll have to practice in pulling wheelies. Slide on the carpet, do whatever it takes. But anyway, you'll be glad to have her home, I'm sure. Yeah, and the hospital apparently has been locked down because of COVID, so nobody can go in and see her. I was going to go in this afternoon and see her, but had a nice talk with her. Call her. She would love to talk to you. And, of course, pretty well everybody is in either their own rooms or in a double. There are no ward rooms anymore with everything. So she said she's in with a lovely lady, but, doesn't see anybody. So, calls are always welcome. So hopefully on Monday everything goes well for her. Monica had her surgery on her face, and she's still waiting for another video conference, so that will determine what they're going to do with the ones up in her head. And Bruce, your sister Ada, she's going to have her bladder removed, isn't that? Your sister-in-law, yes. So we want to pray for her that the Lord really undertake, and just pray for Bruce's whole family in Newfoundland. They're just taking one kick up. Have you noticed some people? It's just like, bam, bam, bam. So we really need to pray for your family, Bruce, this week. And also, Leanne, the tests she had are inconclusive, so she's still discouraged. So they're going to have another CAT scan in January for her, and the ultrasound is booked for December the 11th. So if you think of Leanne, give her a call. I'm sure she'd appreciate it too. Suzanne, quick update on her. As of Wednesday, she could no longer walk. So Richard literally has to like lift her legs and take her to the washroom. So they were able to get in for a CAT scan at RVH yesterday. And so I was waiting for his call last night. He called me around 8 o'clock, and they've admitted her into RVH so they can give her an MRI right away. So Sunnybrook connected with RVH, and they really worked quickly for her. So we're not sure what time she's getting the MRI today, whether it's inflammation or whatever has blocked her motor abilities. But I'm sure she's scared. And, of course, I don't think Richard knows if he's coming or going, too. So just really pray. We'll try to keep you posted as we know more. And so he's there waiting for the call to take her and pick her up. Now, Dorothy and Paul, this was quite a saga. So as you know, Paul had his surgery. He was doing really well. Then Dorothy fell, and she hurt her back. Anyway, she was doing much better. And so we were chatting with them, and they were coming up to the cottage for this weekend, and they were going to come to church. Well, then he got a gallstone attack yesterday, so they had to go up to the hospital, have that checked. So got an email this morning saying that they're now sleeping, and they're going to go home. So I don't know. I think we should just buy everybody rubber suits, and just we'll all look like sumo wrestlers, but we'll all be protected. And I think just keep praying for them in all that they're trying to do. Anything else we need to take for either notes of praise or prayer? Norm, we'll start with you.
Our next door neighbor, he got taken to the hospital. He had a couple of health issues.
Our old next door neighbor from before. No. But they're still our friends. Who are
yes.
Friends.
Okay.
So he can't get home yet. The family needs a lot of prayer.
I'm starting to think one of our main prayers needs to be, Lord, just keep me sane. Mm-hmm. Just keep me sane. I mean, yeah, okay, thanks for that update. And Audrey and Ed, you're heading up to Elliott Lake tomorrow to take your sister up to Elliott Lake. So we need to pray for the two of you. Okay, Elliott Lake. And, of course, They're going to do a turnaround, so that's going to be 10 or 12 hours. So for Sister Ann, we'll just pray that the weather is good and everything works, and then you get organized. How many of you are trying to organize something, and you're not sure if you... Yeah, like when do we know? I mean, everything's on hold. So, Lord, work out the... Open the doors. Okay. Anyone else for notes of praise? Phil?
I'll praise the prayer.
Okay. Really?
Because
wow.
If they take a COVID patient, they have to quarantine the ambulance for 72 hours.
And wow.
And disinfecting and so forth. So When I talked to her last night, she was sitting across from the hospital in her car alone crying because she didn't know what was going on with her.
Well, if she's tested positive, does she have to go to the hospital too? She's a milder case. Sippy do. Look, when you get home today, will you hug your family? Because we just don't know if we're going to see each other. I mean, it's incredible how stuff just rolls. Yeah.
She didn't even want to phone her daughter because she was afraid her daughter would come.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll pray for that, too. All right. Anything else, Audrey? And then...
Sure.
Yes, your mom too, yes.
She's in the hospital. She'll probably have a pacemaker to put in on Tuesday.
Yes, your mom pacemaker question mark. Okay, thanks, Audrey.
And of course, we can't see her.
No, because you can't go in the hospital while she's having the pacemaker. Yeah. Okay.
We're supposed to go down to Princess Margaret on Wednesday and see the oncologist. They have to do a down periscope into her throat.
Okay, throat. Examination, yeah.
But I don't know that they're gonna allow us to come.
Right.
Because down Toronto's red.
So yeah, okay.
They might not allow us. We'll probably find out Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. And it's supposed to be what for what day?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else? May?
I'm afraid.
Good, please. Right.
But coming home from Barry, I got spoke safe.
Yeah, and something like that. Yeah, I wasn't so bad with being sick. It was the drive that nearly killed me. Yeah, that's right. You got to go back. You're getting your second eye done on Monday?
No, I got to get needles in the eye.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a note of praise. Yeah. Okay. Monique?
No, it was
Oh, Becca, yes, dear.
So I don't actually know this family, but the Strickland family in Hamilton, I don't even know what church their pastor at, but the dad's a pastor.
West Highland.
I just saw their friends on Facebook, but their 11-year-old son got hit by a car last week, I think.
Tuesday, I think it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And after being in the hospital for a few days, he passed away.
He was going through a crosswalk with the crossing guard on a green light, and a car came through the intersection. I mean, you know, it's just that's tragic. Four boys. He's the second oldest, I think. Yeah. So that's just... That's just a rough situation. Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Kath? Yeah. Just pull your mask down, sweetie, so we can hear you. Okay.
He's in a nursing home now, and I learned that my cousin in the military died about 2 months ago. Like he was already, he did his tour, and he did his,
yeah.
He retired, and he died, so I was really shocked.
And that's, your uncle is his dad?
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of things going on, and I just pray for the church and for the pastor and the sermon, because I've been really working on the things and like the COVID stuff, and I try to be very, very careful and forgiving those that have I've had conflict with where I live, and I've been praying for my building. And,
yeah, good.
And reaching out as a Christian and trying to be a better example. So I'm praying that God keeps working on me, and that's about it.
Good. Yeah, well, that's terrific. Good. We'll certainly join with you in that. Anything else? All right. Why don't we all stand? Sorry, did I miss somebody? Sorry, Donna.
Yesterday we went to visit Bruce's sister in Newmarket. And on the way home last night, just before we got to Elmville, a car was driving towards us, and he was in the middle.
Right in the middle of the road. Yeah, God's in all of it.
Yeah. I have a story.
Okay. Bruce, by the way, good defensive driving, brother. Seriously, yeah.
Dawn and I were on our way to Collingwood, and there was a stream of cars coming this way, and one darted out, going as fast as he could, and he's facing us.
Huh.
And if I hadn't have gotten out of the way, he would have hit us.
Yeah.
For sure. I just swerved to the right and got out of his way. I thought, how thoughtless are these people? Are they in that much of a hurry that they just could care less about anybody else? Just barge through?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of impatience out there.
Yeah.
And a lot of anger.
Anger.
A lot of anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had my colostomy done.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear you're clean as a whistle. That's right. I tell you, this is a church where everybody cares from one end to the other of us.
So that was my blood test. That was good. And that was my colostomy. Colonoscopy, that was good. Now I had an x-ray on my baby toe, and I'm still waiting for the answer.
Okay. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Well, we'll pray that everything heals up. Okay, let's all stand. Did I got somebody? Sorry. Okay, whoa. Who? One more? Okay, Norm, you get the last word. Okay, that was it. Thanks. Okay, let's all stand. Yes, Norm, what? Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah. When do you want to go?
Right now.
Okay, let's stand. Father, we just want to take this moment, first of all, and thank you that you're in charge. Because if you weren't in charge, I don't know where we'd be or what we'd be thinking today. But in the midst of all of this, we're reminded of the reality on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And Father, for many of us, the greatest battle we're dealing with is the battle in our minds. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think of whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, that the God of peace will be with us. Lord, we don't know if we're going to be able to go for the doctor's appointments or be able to get the things fixed that we need to. We don't know what this week's going to hold. But we know that you're in charge and you will work out all the timing. You're going to work out timings for MRIs or CAT scans or radiation treatments or isolation scenarios. You're going to be with each and every person that we've been so concerned about today. And Lord, even the unspoken requests, you know everything about what we're going through and what we're thinking and what we're doing and the frustrations we feel and the fears that are hitting us. And so remind us today that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Remind us today as we have communion that you never leave us nor forsake us. Remind us that you have plans and purposes for our lives that are far bigger than we could even ask or imagine. Father, remind us, too, that you're going to go ahead of us. So whether Becca's going back into the classroom, Steve's going back down into the workforce in Hamilton, Dominique's going back into school, others are going into their places of work, business, or into hospital scenarios, Lord, we know you're going before us. And so we trust that you will lead us and your timing will be perfect. Thank you for all the ways that you've answered prayer, the practical aspects of our life. Thank you that even things like driving our cars and getting us home safely. Thank you for those that gave medical help and support to us in so many different ways. And Lord, thank you that we're having an opportunity to share our faith at this time of year. The reason for the season is the reality of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. And so, Lord, this is a particularly unique year, but help us to be creative. Help us to see beyond the things that would be negative or the things that would be seem to be hopeless, and remind us that our faith gives us hopefulness. And so, Father, for each and every member of our church family, wherever they are this day, for those who are here, those who have concerns of their families and family members, Lord, you reach them. And we'll trust you for a good report. And so thank you again for all that you're doing. In your powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. You may be seated.
Pastor?
Yes.
Would Joyce and Jen would like to sing a special song?
I'm sorry?
Joyce and Jen would like to sing a special song.
Come on up.
This song may not be as special as maybe I would have liked it to be. However, we'll go ahead with it. And of course, this is actually quite apropos for the times that we're in, especially seeing that we have to take every day one day at a time.
Teach me to take one day.
everybody sing if you can.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. As soon as gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Praise the Lord.
Lady, one time she came to me and she goes, Pastor, I can't hold out for a whole day. And I said to her, well, then say, Jesus, please help me every hour. She says, I don't think I can do that either, Pastor. I said, well, then get down to every 5 minutes, Jesus, please help me. She says, you know, I think I can do that. So thank you. One day at a time, we'll do it. Family, we're going to have communion, and it's going to be unique. I'll tell you how we're going to do it in a minute. But I want to remind you of the reality. You know, we think we're in stressful days. When Jesus served communion to the disciples, when was that? Less than 24 hours before he died. Do you think he was maybe feeling a little stress?
Especially when he had the guy sitting next to him that deserted him.
Yeah. Judas had betrayed him. He'd gone off. He knew what Judas was going to do. And yet he said, fellas, this is what you need to understand. My body is going to be broken for you. And I want you to have this meal in remembrance of me. And as often as you eat it, you're to do so in what? In remembrance of me. And remember, I want you to do this until we what? Have it together in heaven. So every time that I'm having communion, I'm reminding myself it's one less time until we're having it with him. And what a great moment we have to be able to break bread together and to keep the memory of Jesus Christ so real that the things of earth have to grow strangely dim. And so that body that was to be broken, Jesus did it symbolically. And he did the same thing with the cup. And he said, this represents my blood, which is going to be shed for your sins. In the midst of him dying, he remembered exactly why he'd come to the earth. And he said it in such a manner that I think the disciples really got it. They understood it, though, once he died. They appreciate it once he rose again. But isn't it interesting how many times it says in the early church, they broke bread in their homes. I think communion was a part of it. And I don't think it's based on whether we're eating a loaf or a cracker or a wafer or we're drinking grape juice or whatever. Orange juice, it doesn't matter. The reality is we're doing this in remembrance of Jesus. And so I'm going to ask if Jim and Carl would come, and we're going to hand out a special thing that is new to all of us. I want you just to take it from the trays. The fellows won't hand it to you. But take one of those. So, Father, we just want to take this moment in the uniqueness of this time. But the most important reality is that we do not stop doing what you've asked us to do. And so we have this time of communion together in remembrance of you, in anticipation that one day we're going to have it with you in heaven. And so, Lord, bless each and every one as we partake together. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. if you have never had communion this way, it's a two-part system. So first of all, there will be a little cover at the top.
Cellophane.
It's a cellophane, and when you take that off, you will find the wafer, okay? So we'll take the cellophane wrapper off, and then try not to take the bottom or you'll spill the juice. So did everybody get the top piece off? Okay, take your time. So you should have the wafer. If you can't get the wafer, don't worry. Just go for the juice. All right? The last thing we need are people leaving church going, I couldn't even do the communion. No. This is just the way we're doing it for the COVID. There we go. You got it, Jim? Beautiful. Everybody got it? All right. So now that you've got the wafer in your hand, now open the other part and we'll just open the juice carefully. And then we will take the wafer and drink the juice together. Is that okay? Everybody got that? All right, so let's eat and drink together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Your sacrifice is always and so meaningful to us. Where would we be? Who knows? But because of you, we know where we are, safe in your loving reality. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you. Amen. When you are going through your days of each week, do you ever find a particular song comes to mind or a scripture comes to mind? You know what I'm talking about? I was thinking these last couple of weeks about the lady who came to Jesus and dared to touch his cloak. She was very sick. And so I'd like to start by reading this to you. It's taken, and Mark records the story, starting in verse 21. And Jesus, when he had crossed again in the boat to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, of course, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing Jesus, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she might be made well and live." And Jesus went with them. Where were they going? To Jairus' house, where the little girl was sick. And a great crowd followed Jesus and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered under many physicians, spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be what? Made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said to Jesus, "You see the crowd pressing all around you, yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who'd done it. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before Jesus and told him the truth, the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Wow. The interesting part in the remainder of that story, if you want to read that at home later this afternoon, is then he went with Jairus, and of course the word came, "Don't bother coming because your daughter is dead." Jesus said, "Well, I'm still going." And they got to the house, and of course everybody's crying, and Jesus said, "Oh, she's still asleep." They all started laughing at him, so he kicked them all out of the house. He went in, raised the little girl up, gave her back to her parents. When Jesus does a number, he does a number. But I want to concentrate on this lady today because I think there's some important things you and I need to recognize. Because I think sometimes when we're sick or when we have issues, we kind of wonder, is there something wrong with me? Well, let's back up for a moment. This woman was sick for how long? 12 years. Now, do you think it was her sin that caused her to start bleeding uncontrollably? I don't think so. But as an astute woman, she went to the doctors of the day. I'm sure she went to every doctor or anybody that was recommended to her to get what? To get an answer so that she could start living again and not be so anemic, let alone in so much pain. We don't know why she was sick. We don't know if it was an ulcer or colitis, or we don't know anything about it. But the reality is, for 12 years, she went looking for answers. And how many answers did she get? Zero. Where do you think her attitude was by this point? You think she was totally frustrated? Totally exhausted? Mentally? Physically? Emotionally? Do you think that everything that she was going through was all related to her issue of bleeding? Her whole life was now centered on, "I'm sick. I'm tired." And of course, if we look at what we have in terms of Leviticus 15, I mean, she was under the gun from the Jewish law, because Leviticus 15 says, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in what? What do you have? Uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge, shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean. And as in uncleanness of her menstrual impurity, and whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean till the evening. So how many people were giving her hugs? We don't know if she was married. We don't know if she was in a family. We don't know anything about it. But everybody that touched whatever she touched would be what? Unclean, even after they had a bath, until the evening. And by the way, they just didn't go and have a shower. It would have been a big process, because the Levitical law said, you're unclean. In the midst of all of this, she heard about a man. She heard about a man whose name was Jesus. And she wasn't sure what that meant, except in her mind she had one idea. And the one idea was what? If I can just get to him, if I could just touch him, I believe God's power would flow to me from him. Isn't it interesting that when we think of celebrities, we think of, oh, I want to get his autograph. Or, oh, I want to get a front row seat to watch him or her. This woman wasn't interested in anything fanciful. She had an incredibly deep need. And for all intents and purposes, she may well have thought she was dying. But she thought, if we could just get to Jesus. Now, as we know, through those 3 years, was Jesus ever alone? Rarely. Maybe at the well the disciples went out and got some food, he sat down and talked to the woman by the well. But this woman would have had to go and find Jesus and assume she can get close to Jesus, knowing she's what? Unclean. And that if anybody touched her, and knew she was unclean, then they would be unclean. Can you imagine the ruckus that would start if a crowd says, oh, here's an unclean woman. Here's an unclean woman. Don't. Can you imagine what would happen? But she was determined. I got to get to Jesus. So the first reality is, how urgent is it for all of us to get to Jesus? Well, first I need to phone a friend. Well, first I need to phone the doctors. Well, first I got to get a Tylenol. And I'm not saying those things aren't important, but I often wonder if we don't come to Jesus with the same urgency this woman came, and then we wonder why Jesus said, well, what do you want? You haven't even asked me. But she got to him. God made a way for this woman to get to Jesus. She came up behind him and she did what? Got a touch. And immediately what happened? And she knew the blood had stopped running. And Jesus knew that healing power had flowed out of her. And he turns around and said, who touched me? To which the disciples replied, Jesus, get a life. And he ignored them because they were not looking at through eyes of faith. So I'm using this example to you today because we're living in a day of great fear. We're living in a day of great unknown and great uncertainty, but the reality is Jesus is still walking through the roads of Wasega Beach.
Hallelujah.
And Stainer and even Helmvale and Creemore, and Collingwood. Jesus is walking the dusty roads of this entire world, and he is simply waiting for somebody who wants to touch the hem of his garment. And he will what? Stop and talk. Because as soon as the crowds moved back, the woman was there, an anonymous woman, and he had a conversation with her. Do you remember what he just said to her? Woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. I think one of the greatest things we're going to get when we see Jesus face to face is we're going to get the reality of how gentle and how kind he was and is. That woman not only got a healing touch, but she got a sense of a relationship that comes with the Savior of the world. He didn't save her from her sins at that moment. He healed her body, so now she was open for faith for far more than just bleeding. You know, you have to wonder, because the Bible says that Jesus, for the rest of his ministry, and this woman met Jesus very early in his ministry, for the rest of his ministry, he was surrounded and followed a great crowd of women who looked after the daily needs of the disciples. I wonder if this woman was not part of that group. Who knows? But I think there's several things that are remarkable, and I want to leave these with you today. We've just had communion. We've just had the opportunity to reconnect in a way with the Lord today. But I want to go over the three things I think are fundamentally important. And I want you to think, how do I stack up to this? First of all, she had a personal faith. If I could just get to Jesus and touch his garment. You know, family, you and I need to have that line. If I could just get to Jesus. I'll tell you, with the last 2.5 weeks have been pretty rocky for me. I've done a lot of talking to Jesus, and I make no apologies about it. Jesus, please help me. Jesus, I need you right now. Jesus, what's going on? Jesus, and you know what? Jesus never says to us, stop bothering me. Don't you know I'm busy trying to run the universe? God's going, my son, who I'm sending to the earth, is going to be interested in every aspect of your life for the entire time you're walking on the face of the earth. She had a personal faith. She had a persistent faith. If I could just get to Jesus and just And her brain would have screamed, "You can't do that. You're unclean." She'd had 12 years of peer pressure. She had 12 years of literally being ostracized. We think 10 months is bad. Can you imagine 12 years where nobody's given you a hug? Family, get your head around this one. And in the midst of that, it's like the Lord gives her an idea. I just got to get to him. I just got to get to him. I just got to get to him. And sometimes, I think, we're like the woman. We need to go through a lot of other options. I don't think there was anything wrong with the doctors of her day. I don't think God was going, you know, you did a terrible thing. You should have come to Jesus first. But I think from a practical perspective, she realized there was no more help for her. And she needed to directly interact with Jesus and him alone. And sometimes we go through periods of time and then we get, you know what? I got to go just to the great physician. He's the only one who can help me. There are certain aspects of my life. I know nobody can help me anymore. Nobody. Except Jesus. And I'm trusting him for that. Her faith was persistent. And then she made a public confession. She didn't run away. She said, "Yes, it's me. I touched your garment." Because sometimes hope is built on a public confession. Yes, we prayed. Yes, God healed. And we need to go out, we need to broadcast that. So where does that put you and I today? I mean, marvelous stories. I mean, you know, if Jesus was still here, I'd run up to him, you'd run up to him, and we'd be healed and everything would be hunky-dory. I'm sure it would be great. We'd follow him around and see miracles. And what do we do today? Well, here's what I'm proposing. I don't think it's necessarily a question of trying to get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. I think it's a question of Jesus coming to us. Because where is Jesus? Where is he? He's in here. So everything we're going through, he's going through with us. Where else is he? In the whole world. Where else is he? Seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. And he's in the whole universe. If that doesn't build our confidence, what will? And so I want to share a couple of miracle stories as I conclude this morning. And I want you to tell me, how was Jesus' garment touched? All right? You ready? Put your seatbelt on. Here we go. This is a story from a doctor, a medical doctor, Charles Kalin, South Carolina. We had been caught by a blizzard. I was in a caravan of cars going down a winding snow-packed mountain highway near Lake Tahoe, Nevada. My wife and three children were in someone else's car. Because of a malfunction, our van's lights, radio, wipers, heater, and windows no longer worked. Ever been in a car like that? Snow whirled through an open window. My body ached from the cold. Then the windshield became a white wall. I tried to lean out and sweep off the blinding snow with my hand. It was no use. Straining to see, I pulled onto the shoulder of the highway. The van lurched as a front wheel thudded off and felt what felt like a boulder. I hit the brakes. I jumped out. I found myself looking down at an abyss. I'd almost driven over the edge. "Jesus," I cried as I got back into the van, "I need your help." Another driver stopped, got out of his car to direct me. I put the van in reverse. Just then, a stunning blue-white light shot through the windshield, struck the steering wheel. The flash raced through the steering column. In that instant, radio, lights, wipers, heater, and everything else started working all at once. "Did you see that?" the other driver said. At the bottom of the mountain, our family was reunited. People have told me that the strange flash might have been snow lightning. For me, it was an answer to prayer. The garment there was what? A so-called boulder. The garment was some flash of lightning that completely restored the vehicle. That man should have been killed. Another story. My coach complimented me on a great practice I was having. I went from one event to the next, running through gymnastics routines I wanted to master for the competition. When I got to the uneven bars, I was tired. I was still determined to attempt the dismount I'd been practicing in the pit, which is a rectangle filled with foam that provided a soft landing. Now, this is Christina Seidel. She was a teenager. She's out of California. This time I was psyched to try it on the mats, and so, dear God, I prayed as I climbed onto the bar, please keep me safe, amen. Hanging by my hands, body extended, I swung once around the bar, placed my feet outside my chalked hands, snapped into the air, flipping forward, but I'd released too early. I didn't have the height to complete a flip and land on my feet. Suddenly, in mid-arch, I felt my coach push me so that my upper body landed safely on the mat while the rest of me crashed down on the thin carpet that covered the cement floor. While the coach iced my back, I remembered my prayer. Why hadn't God helped me as I'd asked? The pain was excruciating. My fall would probably keep me out of the gymnastics for a while, but I knew that I could have been paralyzed if my head and neck hadn't landed on the mat, and so I turned in the midst of my pain, and I thanked my coach for the push that saved me. He looked at me, puzzled, and said, Chrissy, you fell off that bar so fast, no one had time to get anywhere near you. Where was the hem of the garment in that situation? The hands of Jesus. How many of you remember Corrie Ten Boom? The Hiding Place? Remember the movies that came out? She went through a concentration camp with her sister, Betsy. That woman, her faith story just to this day still gives me shivers. But she was telling a story one day, I want to quote this story, because this has nothing to do with the concentration camps, but it has to do with a missionary family. Many years ago, she visited a missionary couple in a beautiful primitive spot in Africa. Their house, although a tiny shack, had an impressive view of nearby lakes and mountains. Lush green jungle dotted with waterfalls covered the sides of the mountains. Crowded into this small house were the couple and their six children, the youngest just a few months old. The missionary wife told me that having so many children can be a burden for a missionary. She said that when she became pregnant with her sixth, she rebelled against God. She told God that she already had five children, that her health was poor, and she did not feel that she could bear to have another child. Throughout the pregnancy, she regarded the child with sorrow and unhappiness, and there were even times she wished that God would take the child from her. Wow. Just before the child's birth, though, since they had no one to watch the other five children, the missionary wife and her husband packed up their entire family to go to the clinic that was in another town. Returning home after the child was born, they learned that in that short time they had been gone, the dreaded Mau Mau group had come and they'd murdered every white person in the entire area. Had they been home, they would have all been killed. Hugging the baby to her breast, the mother said, "This little darling boy was sent from God to save our lives. Never again shall I rebel against God's ways for our lives." What was the garment he used in that situation? The birth of an unwanted child. So here's my question as I conclude today, family. First of all, what can't God do? What part of your life does Jesus not understand? What part of your life can Jesus not help or heal or supernaturally intervene? The question is, will we allow him to? Because I still think he wants us to come to him. And if we don't come to him, I think he's coming to us because it says he sticks closer than a brother. Now, I think in life there's a lot of natural things. I don't know why Sheila fell and broke her ankle. That seems to be a ripoff. And her ankle could be instantly healed, or it could be healed in a natural way. How is Jesus getting glory in that? We don't know yet. But there will be some aspect of his garment involved in Sheila's future. You and I may be going through something right now. We don't understand why we've got to go through what we've got to go through and the pain we have to endure or whatever goes on And yet we still have the right to go into his presence and touch his garment. And he still will profoundly surprise us by coming into our lives. Even if it means giving us a push, or it means putting a so-called boulder in front of us. Whatever Jesus wants to do, he's doing it because why? He loves you and I more than we can possibly understand. And so what do we say? Here in the love of Christ, I stand. So I'm going to ask Donna just to quietly play the piano for a moment. And as we wrap up the service today, I don't know where you stand with all you're going on relative to the great, incredible power of Jesus Christ. Some of you may feel, I've been in pain for 12 years. I've given up. Nothing's going to happen. Some of you may think Jesus doesn't even know what you're going through. Does he or doesn't he? Maybe today you need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Because I'm feeling very lonely. I'm feeling very isolated. I'm feeling very scared. Things feel very hopeless. We're coming into our Christmas season where God sent his son to a world that had absolutely no hope. And guess what? It's coming to your life this week. So just take a moment and close your eyes. And just say, Jesus, here I am. I want to touch the hem of your garment. I need you. Hear my prayer. Lord, here we are. All of us are frail. All of us are in some kind of pain. Father, we have conflicting emotions. Our energy level dissipates or grows strong. We have situations around us over which we have no control. We have family scenarios that we don't know what to do. In fact, we don't think we can do anything. Father, some of the things we're carrying, we've been carrying a long time. And it seems that we can't get help from anybody. Oh, they may be doing their best. But Lord, you just need to touch the hem of your garment today. And so by faith, we're going to reach out right now. And I don't know what everybody else in this room is doing, but Lord, I'm just reaching out my right hand right now. And I'm just believing I'm touching the hem of your garment. And as my fingers close, I believe that that garment is between my fingers. And you are working supernaturally in my life, in everyone in this room, in their lives, and those that are watching by YouTube. So, Lord, do your best work in us, and we will trust you. Whatever you have to do, you do it. Just let the Lord minister to you right now. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Bless his name. Amen. play that one more time for us, Donna, will you?